Somebody tell USA Today and the airlines to get a room. NTSB's Deborah Herzman says a controller made a mistake in Teterboro, and changes like those over the Hudson could be applied elsewhere. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Friday, September 18th, 2009. A story on NBC and in USA Today has been the bane of general aviation over the last 24 hours. Credited to Thomas Frank, the story appears based on familiar airline industry talking points, painting GA airports as boondoggles that benefit only a few wealthy individuals and corporations. There are quotes from Air Transport Association CEO James May, references to corrupt politicians shuttling around on corporate jets, and a few half-truths among the statistics, but no rebuttal from GA sources who did make themselves available. In the 3 years I've been doing these podcasts, I've made no secret of the fact that I'm kind of a free market economics guy. I think there are reasonable questions to be asked about airport improvement grants, and a few of them are in this article. But for the most part, this is a one-sided hit piece. It's not clear why USA Today felt it was needed, appropriate, or even profitable. In today's Aero News special feature, ANN's Jim Campbell gets reaction from EAA President Tom Poberesny. NTSB Chair Deborah Herzman spoke before the U.S. House Committee on Transportation and Infrastructure's Aviation Subcommittee Wednesday about the recent midair over the Hudson River between a Tour helicopter and a Piper PA-32. While controllers and their union have publicly blamed the pilot of the Piper as being out of touch with ATC by not contacting Newark after being handed off by Teterboro, Herzman says ATC recordings now reveal the pilot misheard the instruction, read back the resulting incorrect frequency, and the controller at Teterboro did not correct him. She also pointed out that while the Hudson River VFR corridor is a very busy place and there have been occasional close calls, she observed, quote, "The number of reports received is very low relative to the number of flight operations through the Hudson River Class B exclusion area," unquote. Regarding the FAA's proposed changes in the space, Herzman says, quote, "The NTSB will review the changes once they are completed and published and determine if they meet the intent of our recommendations," unquote. FAA Air Traffic Organization Chief Operation Officer Henry Krakowski told the House Committee on Transportation and Infrastructure's Subcommittee on Aviation that the FAA has already implemented some changes in the Hudson River corridor following last month's fatal midair, and that the process for rulemaking is being expedited. He reviewed the changes detailed in the August 11th NOTAM for the congressman, but closed by adding that the FAA is being proactive about applying the lessons and resulting changes elsewhere. Quote, "As we analyze their effectiveness, the FAA intends to examine the other major metropolitan areas and congested corridors for similar airspace and operational risks to see if such procedures would be appropriate elsewhere. We expect this larger effort to carry well into next year," unquote. Up next on ANN, Cessna makes its first government fleet sale in Russia. Frank DiBello gets to remove the interim from his title in Florida. And the FAA says solving crew fatigue will take everybody's effort. You're listening to Aero News.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways, and you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for September 18th. I'm Paul Plack. Cessna has announced a deal with St. Petersburg State University of Civil Aviation in Russia for 12 new Cessna 172 Skyhawks to be used in flight training. The school is a federal, state-owned higher education institution in St. Petersburg with a history dating back to 1909. At any given time, there are about 7,500 students enrolled from 25 countries studying all areas of aviation. The new Skyhawks are scheduled to be delivered by the end of this year and will be the first Western-built aircraft to be used in the program. The order was facilitated by Prop Transfer, Cessna's sales team authorized representative based in Moscow. Panna Poulios, Cessna's European sales manager for propeller aircraft, notes it's the company's first government fleet sale in Russia. Quote, We are confident the pilots at the university will benefit from learning in an aircraft equipped with the latest avionics technology and known for its safety, reliability, and predictable flight characteristics, unquote. In more good news from Moscow, Cessna reports receiving Russian type certification for the Citation Mustang. The Mustang is now certified in 60 countries, including the U.S. More than 200 have been delivered from the company's facility in Independence, Kansas, since April of 2007. The six-place twin jet has a top speed of 340 knots, a range of 1,150 nautical miles, and a service ceiling of 41,000 feet. During their Thursday teleconference, Florida Lieutenant Governor Jeff Kottkamp and the Space Florida Board of Directors unanimously voted to name Frank DiBello as the permanent president and CEO of Space Florida, the state agency responsible for aerospace economic development. Kottkamp observed that DiBello, quote, has demonstrated his outstanding leadership during his tenure as interim president. Through his leadership, we can continue to ensure Florida is the number one place in the world for the aerospace industry by aggressively attracting a diversity of space-related businesses that will utilize and expand Florida's world-class aerospace workforce, unquote. DiBello was one of 250 applicants for the position. The change in his status is effective immediately. The FAA has issued a safety alert for operators, addressing frequent reports of crew fatigue, particularly among short-haul pilots and crew. It says both operators and pilots bear responsibility for making sure crews get enough rest, but it says the factors causing fatigue differ somewhat based on flight length. The SAFO indicates that short-haul pilots commonly identify sleep deprivation and high workload as the main factors contributing to their fatigue. Long-haul pilots, however, generally attribute sleep deprivation and circadian rhythm disruption caused by multiple time zone crossings as their main causes of fatigue. Regardless of flight length, all crew members report fatigue results from multiple flight legs, early wake times, consecutive duty days, insufficient recovery sleep periods, time demands, and high workloads resulting from high-density air traffic environments. Still ahead, Bob Hoover is honored in California. Falling ice creates a new open-air skylight in Detroit. And sometimes, if you forget to look up, you miss milestones. You're listening to Aero News.
Welcome to Cirrus Design, maker of the world's best-selling personal aircraft, the sleek SR-22. Cirrus planes feature the latest technologies and are equipped with an exclusive, life-saving parachute system. It is our mission to make personal aviation safe, affordable, and convenient. At Cirrus, we offer a test drive like no one else in the business.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Friday, September 18th. I'm Paul Plack. Bob Hoover, World War II fighter hero, post-war U.S. Air Force and civilian test pilot, and for many years a popular airshow star, has been chosen by the Aero Club of Southern California to be the 31st recipient of its Howard Hughes Memorial Award, which recognizes aerospace leaders who have made significant contributions to the advancement of aviation and space technology. Aero Club President Nissen Davis recalls, quote, Hoover's exciting demonstration flights at airshows around the world inspired countless thousands to take an interest in aircraft and aviation, unquote. The official award will happen at the club's banquet February 4th of next year. Read highlights of Bob's career in the text version of this story, dated September 17th, at aero-news.net. Gerald Young says his house near Detroit was hit by ice falling from an airplane flying overhead Sunday, leaving what was described as a gaping hole in his roof. Young's neighbors told Detroit TV station WXYZ they heard what sounded like a missile hitting the house about 6 p.m. Sunday. They said a plane had just flown overhead. Young says the FAA told him to take pictures of the hole and the ice for their investigation. There weren't any injuries, but a neighbor holding an outdoor baby shower was a little freaked out. There's no word on whether the ice was blue or if it became aromatic during its thaw. And finally today, we all knew we'd get busy and miss it, and we did. Tuesday's Aero News Touch and Go was our 3,000th audio podcast since this all started as an experiment back at Oshkosh in 2005. That's an awful lot of ones and zeros sent out through the ether over the past 4 years, and I'd like to personally thank you for continuing to make use of our work. If you have occasion to do business with any of our sponsors, also thank them for seeing the value in the only form of electronic communication that you can safely use while checking your email or driving your car. It's challenging and rewarding to do news and features in audio form, and it's pretty cool to know they get used out there. Also, don't forget to let us know how we're doing. Looking at the servers and seeing 20,000 downloads a day is exciting, but there's nothing quite like getting personal feedback. The address is paulp@arrow-news.net. I also did a little math and realized I just passed the 2,000 podcast mark personally since taking this over in September of 2006. Again, thanks. I'll try not to let it go to my head. That's the latest from Arrow News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, ANN's Jim Campbell talks with EAA's Tom Poberesny about USA Today's general aviation hit piece. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening to number 3008. Enjoy your weekend and have a clear and unlimited day.